The Sea of Galilee is a beautiful place, but it is also known as a place where storms on the sea can arise very quickly and unexpectedly, presenting considerable danger if one is in a small fishing boat. One day, when Jesus and his disciples were in such a fishing boat, and a great storm arose on the sea. As the storm raged, the boat they were in was being covered with the waves. The disciples were terrified. Meanwhile, Jesus was sleeping. Greatly afraid, the disciples woke Jesus up and pleaded with him, "Lord, save us. We are perishing." And Jesus replied, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Who can this be? God in the flesh. There are many forces in the world, including the forces of nature and the impact of creaturely decisions. But alongside those forces are the providential actions of the all-powerful God who works in this world. Now, that word providential gets tossed around quite a bit. In Christian thought, the word providence refers to God's actions in the governance of the world. You can see or hear in the word itself that it is related to our word that means provide. God provides indeed. That very idea is found in one of the phrases used to describe the God of the Bible, appearing in the story of Abraham and Isaac. In Genesis 22, God tests Abraham's faith by commanding him to sacrifice his son Isaac. Now, God never intended for God to actually sacrifice his son. This was only a test. But Abraham didn't know that. On the way, Isaac asked his father Abraham, "Where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" And Abraham responds, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Later, just as Abraham is about to sacrifice Isaac, God intervenes to stop him. Specifically, the angel of the Lord called out, "Do not lay a hand on the boy." And when Abraham looked up, there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns, and he sacrificed the ram instead. The Bible then explains, "So Abraham called that place, 'The Lord will provide.' And to this day it is said, 'On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided.'" Literally, the phrase translated there, "the Lord will provide," literally means "the Lord sees." Interestingly, the word providence is itself from the Latin term providentia, which literally means foresight, literally seeing beforehand. God sees and God provides. God provided the lamb then, and in Christ, he provides the ultimate lamb, Jesus himself, to save the world. In the storms of life, he is with us and he will provide. But that does not mean that things will always go well for us. As Jesus taught, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In the case of the storm on the sea, Jesus simply spoke, "Peace, be still." And the raging storm stopped. Amazing. But God does not always intervene to stop the storms. Now, I address the big questions about why God sometimes does not intervene and how we can have confidence to pray even in the storms of life in my book, Why We Pray: Understanding Prayer in the Context of Cosmic Conflict. Here, I just want to note first that often God intervenes and we simply don't recognize it. Further, even when God does intervene in ways we recognize, God sometimes takes what appears to us to be a circuitous route, as if he is working around impediments. Consider the Exodus. There was a much shorter route to the Promised Land. But the people of Israel ended up wandering in circles for 40 years because of their decisions contrary to God's good plans for them. Even though God is all-powerful, he grants creatures free will that he will not simply remove. That means many things are not up to him alone. So, God's providence includes not only his actions, but also the result of all the actions of creatures, including the many, very many bad ones. Many factors then are involved in God's providence, including factors like faith and prayer. And in some instances, it seems as if God's power to work miracles is restricted in reference to prayer, to faith, and or to other factors. For example, Mark 6, verse 5 reports that Jesus could do no miracle in his hometown except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. This was because of their unbelief, Scripture says. Yet how could unbelief restrict the Almighty, the one who upholds all things by the power of his word? This could be so only if God committed himself to acting in some way that is tied to human faith. To take another example, a man once brought his demon-afflicted son to Jesus, and he begged Jesus to cast the demon out, noting that Jesus' disciples had not been able to do so. To this plea, Jesus replied, "All things are possible to him who believes." Then the man immediately cried out, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." And Jesus cast the demon out. Now notice here, Jesus didn't tell the man, "Come back when you have more faith." He rescued the boy. Afterward, Jesus' disciples asked why they couldn't cast the demon out. "This kind cannot come out by anything but prayer," Jesus explained. Here and elsewhere, Scripture indicates that God's action might sometimes be limited by the absence of faith or the absence of prayer. Yet God is always working to bring about the best outcomes available without removing free will, which would remove love. Romans 8, verse 28 teaches, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Notice, it doesn't say all things are good, nor does it say that all things that occur are good or themselves always for the best good. It says that God will cause all things to work together for good. For whom? For those who are called according to his purpose. For those who are in Christ by faith. The world is not supposed to be this way, filled with evil. But God will providentially work out all things so that they turn out well in the end. I think of the song here, "This is my Father's world." Perhaps you've heard it. It goes like this. "This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, he is the ruler yet." No matter what storms you face in your life, if you are in Christ by faith, you do not need to be afraid. One of Christ's most repeated sayings in the Gospels is, "Do not be afraid." As God himself proclaims, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will uphold you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand."